Hello, and welcome to the Well Collab Feminine Leadership Podcast. I am Tammy Zadunik, founder of the Well Collab, and your host for today. Our podcast features feminine leadership principles and women leading both in their professional and personal lives. Let's get started. One thing I've learned over the years is I try really hard to not interrupt.
Okay.
Because, you know, like, I don't know, you know me, and that's been a big lesson for me, is not interrupting.
I'm not kidding when I said you're one of my favorite people in the city. You have an energy that, and you know this, you have a big energy.
When I am in a space where I'm safe, when I can be my best
and
self,
me too.
I love myself too. I love my energy. But as anyone knows, anyone who has that beautiful energy of good, it can also be very dark and of equal measure.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think, the hard part is allowing myself to express the hard, dark without hurting others, but still have a space to express it. And that has been very challenging for me to find.
And myself. Hence, it's interesting when we started this conversation that you had mentioned safe spaces. And it's like, no, not that conversation yet, but maybe one day.
Well, and I think like the well started for me, obviously. I think anyone who starts any business, podcast, anything is really for them to learn what they need to learn.
Totally.
For themselves and then in effect helping many people. But I, you know, it's even hard. Like because you make something for a reason and then you receive feedback and there's the energy exchange, the financial energy exchange too. Mm-hmm. So you need to, there is a point of pleasing your client and listening to your client's feedback and caring for them. But then sometimes you can lose if you're not careful, the very reason you started it in the first place.
Yeah.
I am here today with Sonal Kavya. She is the founder of Centered in Peace Consulting. The work she does impacts a collective well-being and compassionate culture through inner knowing and outer radiance. Sonal is a friend of mine and a mentor, someone I really look up to, someone I'm more than happy to refer to everyone. I think that Sonal has a place in, and her work has a place in most corporate, nonprofit, charity, for-profit, every kind of business, women's group. She has a way of creating peace and space within oneself that then radiates out into the business or the organization that she is working with. So I will, I asked her to tell us a little bit about herself. So we will continue on with the podcast.
Tell you a little bit about myself. I am always changing. So that's a really good question. I think that is one thing that I've really learned for sure over time, is that change is for sure. And so if I get asked this question, sometimes I don't know what to say. And that's okay with me. I am a dancer. I am a mother. I know I'm an innovator just because I have lots of ideas and they might not always manifest, but their time will come. I'm really, really fascinated in the way that people learn, including myself, and the way that the brain changes and we change and our identity changes over time. Why we drop some things, why we pick things up, what's the root of them. I really enjoy sacred spaces. And when I say sacred spaces, I feel like that means every day seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary. And I'm looking for people who love to do that too. And I just feel attracted to people who love to do that. I have one sibling. I have a family. My partner and I have two children, a son and a daughter. And yeah, we live a really, I would say, peaceful, adventurous, yeah, a good life.
Yeah, that's a great intro. That's a good intro. I was going to say when you were like, I don't know what to say, I was thinking, I should have asked you, who are you today?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, that might be a fun question to add in. Who are you today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to hear your definition. I mean, I didn't prep you for this, but your definition of identity. I often define it a certain way, that it's unchangeable, that our personalities change or interests and things, but our identity is like forever rooted at birth. But I love this. I love to hear other people's thoughts and ideas on it. So I would love to hear how you see identity.
Yeah, I would say my personal definition of identity really roots in presence and what is present for me right now, internally and externally. So that all has to do with shifting identity from day to day to day, from moment to moment. So my feeling around identity is that it is in flow and not static.
That's going to change everything for me. No, I mean, I like to hear and learn from people and then process and then integrate. But I love that because it takes the pressure off. That's what I felt like when you were talking. I felt like it took the pressure off of figuring out, because I think identity and purpose, these are these really big words that can feel like pressure. And your definition just removed the pressure because it's in flow and it's just in presence of right now.
And I love that that's what came up for you, that it allowed some relief, exhale. And that's what it's done for me, because I've come from kind of that more static identity. This is who you are. This is how you be in the world. But over time, I've just learned more and more, in your own contemplations, in your own observations and experiences, I've learned that, but I'm completely different. But yet, little funnels there in some, so really, what is real? And then when I wake up and I feel like wonderful today, and yesterday wake up and feel exhausted and not really great, where is that identity? And so identity is this, for me personally, shifting, making, identity making every day, I think.
Yeah, that's right? Wonderful. And I think what one thing that had came up in a podcast I recorded with Heather Hendry, who's hilarious. She has a book called Awfully Hilarious, and it's all these awful things that have happened to women and how they're funny, like to do with your menstruation or sexual thing, like just different stories that women are sharing. It's hilarious. But now that's going to take my mind off. But what she said was, this is it, what works for you matters. It matters that it works for you. And if that definition of identity works, then it matters. It's important. And it doesn't have to be the same for anyone else, but it might be. And that might help someone else. And then that person may take that and it matters to them and it works for them. And allowing what works for us to work for us, regardless of what other people say should work for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love the deep dive into it. I love the question. And I love the deep dive into what is identity? What, you know, that it, that's, that matters.
It does matter.
Yeah.
It does matter. And your, I want to talk a little bit about your business, because it is called Centered in Peace. Mm-hmm. And if you can tell already, Sonal is she brings a calmness about her. And I think that's an attraction that I have to you, because I don't feel that way inside. I'm very heightened, elevated. I'm looking to slow and calm, often to counteract my, just to call me to take those moments, because I love my energy and my excitement and the things I can do in that. But then I have to balance it in order to survive with that calm, that calmness. And I think that's why I've been attracted to you so much, is that you just bring that. And I was thinking about you this morning as I was driving home. I go and walk with my parents at the field house. So my parents are 77 and 80, and they're like the most adorable people. And we go walk at the field house. So I was coming home, and in January, I decided that I wasn't going to rush anymore. That was going to be my New Year's resolution. No more rushing. Very hard. Someone like me has rushed my whole life. I was 2 weeks early, born like rush, rush, rush. So I was coming home and I had left enough time, and my parents are very slower now, just in at their age. And I didn't have to rush, and I wasn't in a hurry, and I could get the puzzle for my mom, and I could take my time. And I came home and I was thinking, Sana would just really approve of this. She would just really approve of my non-rushing. She's going to love. I'm going to tell her this when we're doing the podcast.
Well, and I love all of that experience for you. I love that slowing down for you and for your parents together. I have to say that, you know, I'm attracted to people who have a higher energy, yeah. Right?
Makes sense.
That's what we all get to relate to, and we have reasons why we are with other people. And so I guess with Centered in Peace, I would say it was really born out of different experiences that happened. And I realized at some point that I needed to umbrella the work under something. And, you know, even choosing those words, you choose so delicately, because even choosing those words wasn't an indication that we need to be centered in peace all the time, that we can come back to center, that there is a center there for us in relationship to everything, but that we keep coming back. So it's all based on practice. And practice is probably the one word that has come out all the way through. I was, it's a little bit of history. I was a classroom teacher in Calgary. I've been in the classroom probably for about 30 years now. And it was in my post children, I was back at work, and it was in those early years, not earlier, so that was kind of in the middle of those 30 years, that a student that I had just faced a really hard tragedy in their own life. And I, as a teacher, really felt like, wow, like, how am I prepared for this? How am I meeting this child? How I just went into this real, like, observation awareness of what are we doing? And there is this gap in my own experience, my own training, my own understanding of that. At the time, I was already engaged in embodiment practices and actually starting to learn in my own training. I was at a yoga training in Saskatchewan, of all places. And so I just started to really think about how can this bridge, and if I have experienced something, have an exhale in my own life, why wouldn't I figure out how to bring it to young people and to schools if there was a way, if there's a value there? And that began the journey. And I moved here to Saskatchewan from Calgary and just got to meet with an amazing early learning consultant here. He introduced me to a principal and it just began from there. So I walked around the schools and did the work for several years, really asking myself that same question. What am I doing and who am I now? So that identity piece, teacher identity piece, really came up.
How did, I just want to just for a second talk about the logistics of the position. What position did you have in the school system in order to be able to do that work?
I didn't. I came in as a consultant.
Okay, so the system hired you, brought you in.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's how it could have worked, I guess. I didn't know how it works or...
I love that.
Yeah. And then actually during that time, the teachers actually really started to come up and say, something's happening. What are you doing? Something's happening. And then I realized the principal themselves said, you know, this is like a master's project. Would you be interested in that? And then I realized that there's something around teacher identity and shifts and awareness and what can that bring? And then, so that's how I've kind of moved more into teacher development, professional development, personal development, and then coaching has come into my experience now. So as a presence-based coach, leadership coach, getting to bridge all of these worlds and finding the right one, the right coaching, the presence-based coaching, it involves mindfulness. It draws from like interpersonal biology, neurobiology, complexity in systems. It draws on, I had just made a couple notes, but just patterns and how patterns come up, but somatics also. So it was the right one for me because I am such a believer and advocate for embodiment and how can we keep moving closer to wholeness and holistic education, because we have come from lots of systems work around separating all of the subjects, separating our experiences. And I feel like we're at that point in history where we're wanting to bring that back.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. I don't even think I understood the history of how you got to where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And today you're mainly working with, are you mainly doing like professional development, or is it kind of like a mix of all the things? Are you still in the schools?
I love that you're asking that question in that way, that is it a mix? And that's exactly that. It's a mix of working in schools, working in with nonprofit organizations, working at the university. I just am a project lead on this programming around embodiment and having practitioners, getting to work in groups as a response to students feeling lonely and wanting to gather together. Creativity has come up a lot.
Yeah.
Like, how do we gather around creativity? And so
that is something that, I mean, if you know, the passion for me is like happy and creative on Instagram. It's a passion for me.
I think
we are created beings. I think we're innately creative. I think that a lot of times we set our creativity aside, but I think creativity is so powerful. And you bring creative ways to lead, like you bring creativity into your work that you do.
Yes.
What did I do? Tell me, I mean, I've witnessed it. I will never forget when we were at that mental health, we had Shattering the Darkness.
Right.
It was probably the first time I'd ever been a receiver of your work, your gifts. And you had us walk and we made eye contact. And I mean, I just started crying. And it was such a powerful moment. And I watched how people were receiving that. And I think of it all the time. Anytime I'm like, we need Sonal there to do that eye thing again.
I love that eye thing. I love.
Do you
I
still
love,
do that?
Oh, yes, I do that.
Can you share what it is a little bit? Do you mind sharing?
I don't mind sharing it. I can even tell you the evolution of that too.
Do it.
And I'm sure that I was sensitive at that point, but I've noticed over time too, there's all these learnings that I have learned around trauma informed, trauma sensitive, trauma mindful. I remember I played music and I just had everyone up at the end of the day, so that there's some familiarity, comfort, safety. And really, you're just walking around the spaces, making eye contact with other people. That's it. And the evolution is, and if that's not comfortable for you, then you look at the ground, you look, wherever you need to look, wherever you need to be. If other people are actually walking around and you want to sit, if you want to leave the room at this time, all the evolution's there. And that's the experience.
I know that we can't have like a fully safe space. Like I recognize that that's impossible to build that. We maybe for ourselves, but not for others. We don't know their experiences.
Yeah.
But what do you, because it's come up a few times in this conversation, I want to make sure, what is a safe space to you? Like recognizing we can't make it perfect, but like what does that entail? Because I think the evolution of this activity, the eye contact one, feels like you've went from something that was very powerful to having something very powerful, but you've created a safer space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a safer space includes choice. It includes accessibility, body accessibility. It includes knowing in the back of my mind that if there was some sort of a response or reaction of someone's, that I would have maybe a team or someone to refer to if there was a need, a mental health specialist or somewhere. And then for me personally, a safe space means that when I check into my body, there's a little bit of sense of calm or joy. So it's not just like calm, low energy, it's calm, joy. It's a different energy. And I can sense that. Something that I've really come across lately for my own personal is, am I in presence or am I in presentation? And I just know. And that's a safe marker for me.
Yes. It's hard to be in presence in a space that doesn't feel safe for us because we're in fight or flight, or we're trying to regulate, but we can't. It's hard to find those soothing elements within those spaces when you don't feel. And I know the well isn't a 100% safe space and we don't have all those avenues covered, but I know that I built it because I didn't like the typical networking spaces. And I felt like there was always an expectation of performance. Yeah. And you really couldn't be authentic. And I think that's probably one of the things we've done the best at maintaining that space. But at the same time, as we grow, it is harder. And as we get more known, because most women in networking haven't experienced that, they don't actually know what they're walking into. And it's even though we tell it, we say very clearly what it is, you can't know until you experience it. So I think it's scary. I think it can be very scary for people to be in a space where everyone's being themselves.
Yes. And that is a liminal space, right? That uncertain, unknowing, which I would say most of our society is not comfortable with.
I know.
which I really like. I love that there's something about an uncertain unknowing of what is going to come, the possibility there, that is really magnetic to me.
So you're saying I'm never going to be a millionaire?
I don't even know what that means.
No, I mean, this is what that means, is where I go is I always have to pick the hard thing. Because for me, that's the most authentic thing. Not that I want life to be hard. To me, it's the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. To me, the easy thing is to talk about sex, religion in a group.
Yeah.
To me, that's what my desire is. That's what I want to do. I want to dive deep into hard convo with people I don't know. That's my most natural state.
Yeah.
Small talk and performance is, I'm very bad at that. So what I'm saying is it's a very niche group who wants what the Well Collab offers. So we do offer things that are a bit more mainstream, still without compromising our values.
Yeah.
But what I mean by the millionaire comment is, yeah, it's never going to be something that the masses feel comfortable with.
Okay, yeah, I totally get
that. And that's okay because I'm a rebel and I get that, and I want everyone to own their own authenticity, authentic rebels inside of them.
Love it. Yeah.
But it's interesting when you create a business model that is something that's takes a lot of courage to pay for.
Yes. And I would have to say in all of my experiences with the Well over time, I have experienced it as a safe place for me to grow, to be in the right conversation at the right time, and to have had inquiries into my own work life, how things are going in terms of even centered in peace. I had a question come in from one of the members that was really just on point. Do you ask for help when you need it? Are you okay asking for help?
So I'm just funnel over here.
Yeah. It was a very timely question. And I sat with that question and I thought, very interesting observation, because that question came out of their observation.
Wow. Was that okay for you to be asked that?
It was a friendship in friendship.
Ah, see, that is,
I won't say
within your relationship. No, we'll get on the DL. But
yeah,
I love, wow. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is such an important question. You know, what do you want or what do you not want? And what do you need? And are you able to ask for help or ask for what you want?
Yeah.
Or say, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes what I've learned is it's often easier to answer if someone says, what do you not want? Than what do you want?
Absolutely. And I would say even, I can say, it was definitely one of the roots of the Well, the rootedness of the Well women. So it tells where I can tell where you are all coming from.
Yeah, it's the depth at which we connect.
Yeah,
that allows for those questions too. Yeah, but even like the within the community too, able to ask those kinds of questions, because there's a level of trust that's established quite quickly, and miraculously to me. I feel like it's been a very spiritually led thing that I had to just choose to say yes to. And that's why it is the way it is, because it's not of me. It's a much greater thing that I just was like willing to be the one to do it. A calling, I guess you would say.
Yes.
But is that how you feel about your business too? Like, did it call you? I mean, the child who was struggling, did it call you?
You know, honestly, even at identifying as even a business person, or it's been such a journey to even think in that way for me, because I just think public service, and I think I came from, right? You're teaching, you don't go out there and get the kids. They come. And it's been such a different way of being. And so for me, this just kind of happened organically. Mm-hmm. Probably I'd say 7 years in. Before that, it was me going into the spaces. And then after, it was, oh, okay, well, it's centered in peace. This is what I am calling this consulting. But now I can call on, okay, within that, I provide mindfulness training for schools, for the children, for the teachers, for now having spaces that I'm working in and speaking with leadership and principals and superintendents. So like it's morphed over time, working in nonprofit organizations, different roles in there. It just organically has come up.
My guess, my assumption would be that your clients find you rather than you're out there trying to find clients.
That is how it has evolved.
How wonderful is that?
Well,
I love that.
I love that too. And the biggest thing I love is that it has happened all around relationships, because I don't think there's a different way for me. Like, it has to kind of be there. And, you know, it's a professional relationship and it's a personal relationship, but relationship is at the bottom of any engagement. And so, but that has also made me think about where my growth and my own growth in terms of understanding that identity piece, coming back to that identity piece at the beginning, when there is this feeling of, what am I doing? And what is this even? To, with conviction, saying, no, we need to make space for this. And I'm not willing to, I'm also not willing to make it something that is not authentic to me. Because you get sometimes asks that, you know, well, we need it this way, and I can work with people, but there needs to be some understanding there, and that bridge, that what is the meaning for this, and what the importance, why does it matter?
Yeah.
And how is it serving that person, and how can it disrupt some of that, the systems?
Yeah, I let's talk about disrupting the systems.
Okay.
I want to know, because one thing I want to know is sort of what drives Sonal. Like, what is the change you want to see? Like, what keeps you going? What is the disruption of the system in a way that our listeners could understand what that is for you.
Yeah. And in no way am I saying a disruption of a system is any of the people in there, because the people make the system. And so I have such a respect and admiration for the work that all of the people within the system are doing. But I do wonder the ways that the change can happen in the system itself. And my wonders bring me to the feeling that if we can have well-being at the center of our systems, then we will have healthy, thriving communities.
Where do you start when you want to bring well-being into the center of the system, or into the people in the system, or however you set it.
You start one experience at a time, with one person at a time, with one classroom or one group of adults, one conversation, one breath, one exhale, one embodied movement, one thread through something I might create with my hands, one sit down at a puzzle table. I think that it's all of these things. It's just one bit at a time.
I believe that, and I think that's powerful. And I think there's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
I think it can feel, when you're used to operating in a capitalist system, like a capitalist system and a system that really is about like linear growth and efficiency, it can sound slow. It can sound slow to for business, right? Because, well, how do you make any change? How does anything? But when we push through without actually healing the problem, working on the actual issue, it might look on the surface like we're making improvements, but we're just kind of, to me, band-aiding everything, and all the wounds are still going to rise up. But when you take it one person at a time and you actually intentionally work and they find what they're looking for, and then it ripples out to me faster, it gains momentum, but it's, you have to start slow.
You have to. And that in itself can be triggering. Right?
To who? Like to you or to the people or to the system or to
someone who is embedded in a really fast, burdened time, like they sometimes don't feel like they have a choice.
Yeah. Because of money or just because of the way they've been raised? Like
maybe whatever circumstance it is. And I'll use maybe an educator's point of view. If you are moving through your time with children and you have very many burdens on you, you have got the curriculum to cover. We have inclusive classrooms that are wonderful because they're inclusive, but that is a lot on an educator to navigate meeting all of those individual needs. And then on top of that, to know that there's language barrier, like there's just so much. So if someone says, you know, slow, like is slowing down will be really good here, that can be triggering.
Yeah.
So then that's the conversation, the gentle experiences that we can have is that slow, what, like pulling apart, what does slow mean? That slow can be, I'm in the middle of this really chaotic room time. I'm just going to close my eyes for 2 seconds. And that is for me. And that creates space and slowness. And it seems so minute, but it is really powerful. I'm going to take my hand and bring my fingers together, just one hand, and I'm going to put it on my heart. And now it just connected in. And that doesn't take anything out of a meeting. It takes nothing away from that classroom, but it can only add to a space. So these are really the tiny, smaller things that we can do, but then there's big things we can do too. And it just is like, who's ready for what?
I love that.
Yeah.
Who's ready for what?
Yeah.
I love that when you said that, I was like, I knew she was going to say that. And that was such an interesting moment for me.
Right now.
Right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's who's ready for what. And it's being okay with the people who aren't ready and allowing the people who are ready to take the larger steps.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We have to be okay. We have to be okay with people stepping in where they are, because that's where they step in.
It's what it is. It's what it is.
It is what it is.
This is so much
it is what it is.
Reminding me of the somatic work I've been doing with a new therapist. Nice. Like when you talked about the slowness and pulling it apart.
Yeah.
One thing she has me do is when I have an upset or something comes up for me.
Yeah.
Or a vision.
Yeah.
She'll say, okay, now find your good place in your body, like wherever you're feeling it less. And then she'll work me through. If I start doing my hands, so I'm circling my hands right now quickly, she'll say, slow it down, slow it down, slow it down. And as I slow, the actual physical movement of slowing it down, the story comes into my mind. And I can see the story slow down, the memory slow from my physical slowing of my hands. And then I get insights, one tiny insight that will ripple out over the coming months and change me. The last time I did somatic, I had a vision of me hovering above my body. So I was laying on the couch in her office and I was hovering above my body. And it was one of these where she slowed me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt myself go back into my body. I can feel it now. And this happened in the moment. I took and I zipped myself up from my toes all the way to the back of my head, my whole body. And it was like, you need to stay in your body. You don't need to step out of your body to fix other people. Mainly my family would be where that would be happening. I'm pretty good at work, not so great at home.
Yeah.
And I found last night again, I was out of my body. And to me, that was the like, not physical manifestation, but the, like, imagined, I understood what embodiment meant. I felt like I'd never really, like, I know what I'm feeling. I'm quite aware of my internal, of my feelings. And when I know what a no feels like. I know what a yes feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm quite connected, mm-hmm. aware, but this was, like, next level.
Next level. There's a person that I've been following for a few years now. His name is Bio Kamalafe. And when it was that same kind of moment that, you know, something came in and it was like years. Slowness is the function of presence.
Slowness is the function of presence.
And just like when you were saying with your hands, like you just slowed, and that's what the function of that is to bring you into presence. And that's exactly what you just explained. That you know that feeling. You know that feeling. And in presence-based coaching, there's three principles that the presence brings you to. Is the stillness, the immediacy, and the possibility. So with those three things, you just described all of those.
Oh, yeah.
It's that there is a stillness. There just is, because of the slowing down.
And we can,
there's a reservoir
for ourselves.
Yeah.
Nobody can take that away. What is the internal? That's what I felt in that moment, too, was peace, like I have felt spiritual peace from an external source, internal, but external from universe, God. I have felt that.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, I felt so safe in my own body,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to just be with me. And I don't think I've ever felt it to that extent before, because I've had panic attacks, and that's very much wanting to not be alone with yourself. It's a horrible feeling. This felt like I just never wanted to leave the presence of myself. I love somatic. I love. That's how I was like, I never want to leave, but it's still here. I can access it.
The reservoir is here. It's just, it is. And yeah, to find that in a lifetime.
What a gift.
And do you know what? As I was walking, I'll tell you this, as I was walking those halls and in those early years, I would always go back to the school at the end of the year and go and say bye to the kids because they are off for summers. And some summers are really hard for kids because it's a long time away from their safe place, which might be the school. And so I'd go back and one of the grade one girls was going into grade two. I said, I had a great summer. Are you even practicing any mindfulness or anything? She's like, Mrs. Cavia, I practice every night and I have my panic attack. And that was a pivotal moment for me to, like I said before, the moments, it's like, okay, I can do this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I can do something.
It's working.
For some reason, I'm in this now. So,
and it doesn't have to be defined.
Yeah.
What you're doing is working.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Thus began the feeling of, oh, change. Oh, so going back to full circle of your first question, why is my my definition of identity that way? It's for all of these experiences over time.
It's interesting also that you had said that, because I did a story today really quickly on social about you coming over to do the podcast and how I was so excited. And it came up that I'm the evolving entrepreneur. I'm ever changing. I'm evolving. I don't stay in one way. I can look back and see that the values and the intention hasn't changed, but the offerings have changed. The team has, things have shifted continually. The women shift in and out.
Yeah.
And who I'm connecting with in the moment shifts in and out, even if there's certain people that are always, I always feel like you, like if I don't see you, it doesn't matter. I always feel connected to you.
I feel that way too.
Yeah. There are
you around town. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Yay.
I know. You're going to that. I'm going to that. Sonal's going to that. Oh, I'm buying a ticket for that. No, I'll ask him about it. You know, that next week or something. I think that being open to that evolution of our identity, which will be new for me. And as an entrepreneur, I feel always evolving. And I have that rebelliousness in me where I'm like, don't you dare try to put me in a box.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Don't you dare. I'm going to put myself in the box if there's going to be a box that I'm in. I'm choosing my own. Thank you.
Yes.
And it will be all windows and actually all open air because I don't like being trapped. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That self-awareness and takes slowness and it takes regulation and everything that you do is very healing for other people and hopefully for yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to kind of wrap up soon, but do you feel that you're able to, again, I'm making assumptions again, they make an ass out of you and me, but I love to do them. So my assumption is that you take care of yourself and that's why you're able to do the work you do. But what would you say? Am I right? Am I wrong?
Do you know what? I have my practices. I've had them. They've informed me for years and years and years. I consistently come back to that presence in myself. I have whacked out times just as much as anyone else. I move through things, I react, and then look at my reaction. And I'm really lucky that when I am sharing a practice with someone, I do really get to benefit. I got to spend 2.5 years with a woman who had never practiced yoga nidra before and was open to it. She was going through her own cancer journey, and we would sit down every week and she would receive, and it was just, I felt like, wow, this is for me, and, you know, in that offering. So yeah, I really think of it as it's a sharing experience, that nothing is in a direction, that it's a reciprocity, and it's always that way for me. I would also say, because I incorporate and over time have just, and can continue to learn more about sound and scent and the embodiment, creative piece, and how all of that comes in. I just love it. I love sharing, and I love experiencing and learning more and more about what is that doing to our brain? How can we just incorporate some more of these? I feel like they're easy things. So why not?
Well, I think you do have a way of making it easy for us to understand and to integrate and implement those things into our daily lives in very small ways that do bring that space. I think that that's a gift you have. And I think being with you and spending this hour with you, for me, I'm sure my brain is just lit up on dopamine and happiness and all the good endorphins right now.
I can wholeheartedly say the same.
Yeah,
I feel it.
I think that's what, for both of us, we do experience a lot of, there's really hard times in business, but it's all for the good. And I think we both really align with that, like just the goodness that we're able to absorb from the work we do.
Yes.
I feel it so much. I'm so grateful to be able to talk to you. Is there anything you were like, I really hoped I could share this and I didn't? Or do you feel like we've kind of done a good job of exposing Sonal to our world?
You know what? I'll share. I'm one of those. I like to have like a root word at the beginning of, I don't know, the solstices. And this time came up was awe-inspiring. And it's been such a relief to have that word in this last couple months.
Sounds a wonderful word.
What a gift. It's been a really gift. Yeah. So, yeah.
As you are
so.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me share you with more people. That's what I want for you. I want more people to know you and to be able to know your, which I know are, you have learned things and you've developed things and created things, but your healing practices that work for you that you're able to share with others. So we will definitely share with you how to connect with Sonal if she is the person you need, you're feeling connected to her business. So thank you for listening today, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.